Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Power Up Podcast. I'm Trisha Hirschberger.
I'm Maud Garrett, aka a potato right now, because I have a feeling everyone is using so much internet, even though I've just upgraded to the best internet money can buy. It's still not cutting it right now, and I'm not sure why, but don't worry, I've got beautiful red lips on. That's enough for me right now.
You know what? It's so true. On paper, Maud has way better internet than I do. And so we have spent so much time troubleshooting, but hopefully, it has to be the internet. Hopefully, her internet will improve as
this
goes on.
Oh my God, you look so good, and I look so 1997 internet right now. That's so funny. I will be looking at the chat, though. If you guys have any notes for me on how I can fix this, please help me. Oh, God.
Yeah, we've already tried all the webcam settings. We've already had her drop out of the call and come back in. We have, let's see, we've tried the resolution she sends it at, the resolution she's receiving at. Nothing else in her house is using upload at all.
And my upload speed is at least 10, so.
And you're hardwired in, right? You're not using Wi-Fi? Hardwired in. Ups and downs, 1892. Her up speed
there's like 9. There's
like
some sort of like goblin that's just sucking all like the Wi-Fi and the internet like out the back of the building and is so fat right now.
Yeah, Cat and Ninja, ups and downs. Thank you guys for driving. Cars Region says bandwidth issues somewhere. I know. And we've tried all of the things that one would think to try, so feel free to keep throwing those into chat, but welcome. If this is the first Power Up that you're here for, this is a show where Mon and I finally get to co-host a show together, and we talk about all the things we're playing, watching, and reading, with, of course, questions and input from you guys here, the Twitch Dragon Riders in the chat live, and the Geek Bombers from Patreon and youtube.com/geekbomb.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff happening. We alternate weeks with a guest. So when we're not doing a guest week, Amy comes in, delivers us a bunch of news that's happening under PW and R, playing, watching, reading. And then we get stuck into a lot of questions and we dive deep into what it is that we are playing, watching, reading, and ask you to do the same. Amy, do we get this started so I can look smaller and less pixelated?
Let's do it.
Woo!
Yeah!
Yes!
Okay, so let's just get started with this beautiful image right here. So this is the PS5 new DualSense controller. Those are the pictures you see on top. So Tech Radar basically made their own render of what they think the PS5 will look like, which is the photo you see down there. A lot of people were talking about the DualSense controller, what it's like. So it does have adaptive triggers, which is not, I repeat, not like the Xbox controller Rumble, which is very different. So it's very predictive and it's completely different than Switch as well. It actually has actual tension, which is so cool to hear. I think, you know, at the end of the day, the PS5 is going to be something completely different. And for the most part, I would say that people are pumped about it. How do you guys feel?
I'm sorry, is that the console right there?
That's what Tech Radar is thinking it's going to look like. We don't know what the PS5.
That looks like a Wii Fit board.
Don't step on it. No.
Wii Fit was great. We loved Wii, didn't we?
We did, big time. I loved it. I did like 62 days straight on that once.
There are horrible gifts that exist online of me using a Wii Fit board from the early days of SourceFed Nerd. Yeah, early days of SourceFed Nerd. It was hot out because it's always hot in LA in the summer. And I had on like a tank top and jeans. And Maud can attest to this. When you went in for SourceFed or SourceFed Nerd, you didn't know what you were going to be filming that day half the time. So we went in and they were like, hey, we're going to use this Wii Fit thing and do like an exercise video. And we're going to have Trisha, Meg, and Steve all play it and we'll montage it together and whatever. So I'm in like a tank top. And of course, the Wii Fit game that I'm playing involves you like bending over a ton. And so there's all these gifs of, you know, cleavage and stuff, me bending over on a Wii Fit. And that's what I think of every time I see a Wii Fit now.
You're like, ugh, pervert and people on the internet. I couldn't eat a banana once. I couldn't dance in the live stream without it all being made into gifs. And whoever did it, I had a word with you and I tried to get them taken down because I hate being sexually objectified. So thanks for that.
Yeah.
But back to the PS5 controller and more perverted people on the internet. Did you see the way that I saw it on Reddit where someone's like, PS5 controller, but make it like, you know, perverted. And so someone did an anime drawing and now I can't unsee it. But the sides of the controller are a woman's legs and she is bending over.
Oh, I did not see that. I saw someone using it, kind of comparing it to a device one might use for self-love. I did see that. I honestly, I just look at it and I think, wow, that looks a lot like an Xbox controller. It does also come in black, and I actually like the black design more than I like the white design when I'm looking at the two of them. But I'm more of a PC gamer than a console gamer anyway, so I feel like my opinion is not as weighty as one who's like a diehard PlayStation person.
I actually don't like the PlayStation controllers so much. I like that the... I don't know how to say it. The Xbox has one up and one lower, and that just feels easier to handle. Mm-hmm. I grew up with Nintendo 64, and I find that Xbox is the easier transition to make. So the fact that this is more Xboxy is really, really good for me. I prefer Xbox in so many ways when it comes to the interface. PlayStation, the only way to make things bothersome for me is when I press, you know, the circle to enter and to go into something, mm-hmm. it shoots out. And I'm like, that's so wrong. I want to inverse my
Well, and X that's and the problem when you go back and forth between Western gaming controllers and Eastern gaming controllers. So anytime you're on a Nintendo, the buttons are swapped. So if you're really used to your Nintendo Switch and then you go to your Xbox, when you think you're selecting something, you'll be backing out and vice versa. Yeah. Or if you're on your Xbox a ton and then you go to your Switch, it's a pain in the butt. I'm all about button remapping so that they can just be the same. Because whichever one you're used to is, but like, I remapped the buttons in Breath of the Wild. For sure I did.
I should have done that because that was bothersome. Because I would play, you're right, I would play Breath of the Wild for hours on end. And then I wanted to go and play a little bit of Overwatch. My God, it was just brutal. It wasn't even fun at all. Just like this internet.
Which actually got better for a little bit.
Oh, good.
It's giving us like taste. It's giving us niblets.
Maybe it's detecting my mood, and when I light up and like something, I get a little clearer, but when I'm not a fan of something, I get more and more muddier and murkier. So this is like a mood setting that's happening right
now. It's a special mood webcam. Yeah. Hit up Mod for that affiliate link. Hey. For the mood webcam. Awesome. Well, Amy, thank you so much for telling us what's going off.
Of course.
All now right, it's time Mod. To talk about what we are playing. I have been playing so much Final Fantasy. My goodness. Last week when we were talking to Anthony, I just downloaded it but didn't have enough time to actually play it. I have put in about 8 hours now, which is reasonable for me. I'm about it. I can't stop seeing you as Tifa the whole time.
You just mean my whole life. By the way, you
every
just
time
made
she's
my
on, I'm
life.
Like, oh, it's Trisha's bar, Tifa's bar.
I actually, you're probably just as far into it as I am then. Do you remember what chapter you're on?
3.
Oh, okay. I'm on chapter 6. But I feel like I'm probably 8-ish hours. Maybe I'm another stream into it than that. Because I really only get a chance to play games while I'm streaming. And I've been streaming the whole thing dressed as Tifa. So every time I stream Final Fantasy, I'm dressed as Tifa. And on Easter, it was Easter, so I got bunny ears to like wear with my family for Easter morning. So I put on the bunny ears with Tifa, and the Tiefster bunny is now a thing that is continuing because it's hilarious and weird. And I think people scrolling on Twitch are like, what is even happening here? And like so many new people have tuned into my stream because of the Tiefster bunny.
Wow, that's cool, man.
It's very, very funny. And honestly, my hair, like, because I have a different texture hair than Tifa does, I would either need to wig to do it correctly. I usually do like a little fake pinned up bang to kind of get that look, but it's not the, you know, wispy bangs like she has. But for whatever reason, when I put on the bunny headband, it makes it look more like her hair. Like it like helps hide that my hair is not the right texture. So it's perfect. But yes, I have also been playing a crap ton of Final Fantasy VII. I'm absolutely loving it. What combat style are you playing as, Mod?
So that's the thing. I think I prefer not Punisher mode because he's so slow. And I'm heavily using fire spells, but also going through his abilities. So I'm just like hack and slashing real bad,
but
which is not good for gameplay.
In the beginning, when you got to choose classic, easy, or normal, do you remember what you picked?
Oh, yeah, I picked normal.
Okay, so that's what I'm playing on too.
It's hard. I'm fighting this like ridiculous guy who's doing things with a motorbike that are not like at all. It's defying gravity. Yeah. It's defying velocity. This guy, it's like, you know, remember when you had the Diablo sticks and like that ball that was juggling on it? That's his motorbike that he's riding somehow.
Yeah, we call him Hair Guy on my stream.
Oh, because he's got like short at the top, long at the back,
he's
right?
He's got like the bouffant. Are you talking about bouffant motorcycle guy?
I mean, how many motorcycle guys are there?
There's some motorcycle guys.
Oh my God. This is, yeah, the guy with the hair, the cocky attitude, and he flips like the guitar, he flips it around like it's a guitar on his body.
Yeah, I think that's bouffant hair guy, also known as mullet guy. Yes, thank you, mullet guy in chat.
Yeah. So I have only done that race once. It took me 3/4 of the race to realize that if you press square, you can use your sword that way. And then circle, you can use your sword that way. I only thought I could use square. So I had to maneuver myself to be on the right side of them the entire time.
Yeah.
Not great. So
You will also get to points in the game where you need to switch from a spell you've been loving to something else, because if you don't use the spell that the particular enemy is weak to, you have, like, no chance of beating them. Like, they're so hard. I know,
and I've been assessing damage. I've been trying.
Yeah.
But it's like, wah-wah, you died. Do you want to start again? I'm like, I just spent 7 minutes doing the worst Toad's Turnpike. And, like, I think I just need a second. That's how I bowed out last night. But that rabid dog took me a couple of times, too. And I was like, I don't think hack and slash is cutting it. I miss Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm interested to hear, and if anyone in chat right now is playing on Classic, on the Classic combat style, I think all that does is it does all the hack and slash and blocking for you until the ATB gauge is filled enough for you to then execute a command. And in that way, it makes it more like the traditional turn-based Final Fantasy VII. But let me know how that is, because I've only played on normal, because when it's like, the game was designed to be played this way, but you could do this other thing, but you'll be missing out. Or if you want to experience the whole combat, and I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, I'm going to experience the whole combat. I don't want to lose out on stuff. So totally into that. But yeah, it's been great. I've been loving the heck out of it. For me, Tifa is best girl, but I know some people are Jessie girls. Who do you love in there? Are you Cloud, Jessie, Tifa?
Cloud's a wet sack, isn't he?
He's like, emo sad boy.
And like, I was following an artist that I really, really like. And I think Jen Bartel, I really like her, but haven't committed her name to memory yet. She was saying that there is no way that a guy with that size arms could lift that sword. And now I can't unsee it. Like, even darts. I'm like, can he even throw the dart without hurting his arm?
To be honest, no one that doesn't have superhuman powers could lift the Buster Sword. Like, in real life, if we're talking about it. I think the YouTube channel Man at Arms built one once. And I think there was, in fact, there might even have been a Because Science about it. Cool. But the Buster Sword,
like, how much
gigantic,
like what it would minimum weigh in pounds kind of thing, like, yeah, it has to be like 180 minimum.
Yeah, the Buster Sword is crazy huge. And I do think Cloud is cut and would be able to lift a big sword, but I don't think anyone could lift that one, not even Barret. KK got it going on, says, I love me emo Cloud. See, people love emo Cloud. He's sad boy. And yeah, I don't mind emo Cloud. I think it's funny.
I'm not a fan. I mean, what I actually find bothersome is that, like, half the slums are treating Tifa, like not great.
Not great.
Objectifying her. But then she receives it as everyone's being so sweet to me. And when she couldn't win Cloud over at the bar, she, like, tried extra hard to get him to like her. And I was like, I don't understand what that personality trait
No one be trying harder than Jessie.
Yeah, but then she joked about it and she was like, psych! And I was like, I don't know.
Just wait, you'll get there. You'll get there. So for anyone that's listening that's like, spoilers, Maud and I are still pretty early in the game. So
it's not that far in.
We're not giving away anything else. But I brought us back to the screen so you guys could see, because you're like, hey, two of those squares are not Final Fantasy VII, and we've been talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake. And what these are is because Maud and I both had the same what we're playing this week, I thought to add a little variety and spice to the conversation, I would give us a little indie spotlight. So an indie game that I absolutely love and play all the time, it's my go-to when I need something quick and easy, is Into the Breach, which is what you see pictured here. If you like turn-based, so it's kind of a nice segue from Final Fantasy VII, if you like turn-based and you like strategy, then Into the Breach might be really good for you. Maud, have you played this game at all?
No, I'm just trying to look at it. But on this computer in front of me, it looks like a chocolate chip cookie. But when I look at my second screen, and I'm wondering maybe I should have jumped.
Do a quick Google. Pull up a tab. Do a quick Google on Into the Breach, Maud.
I got the second screen going, and that one's fine. So I was like, maybe my gaming laptop is just like, blah. Oh, gosh. And I keep going back to the stream. And you look like you're sitting in front of me in the same room. And, I look like dial-up connection of, like, you know. Anyway.
Hey, like I said, fingers crossed. It could fix itself before we finish. Fingers crossed for that. But, yeah, Into the Breach is not that expensive because it's an indie game. And you do full runs. So it's permadeath. Once you die, you're done and you start over. So it's a roguelike. But you're basically... It's like Storm Ship Troopers, because giant bugs are attacking the Earth, and you take control of Starship giant mechs Troopers. To kill the bugs and save the Earth.
Wasn't that Starship Troopers?
But it's turn-based and lovely and very chess-like.
The movie with the bugs.
Yeah, Starship Troopers. Thank you so much.
All good. I like that. I'm about that. I like turn-based strategy.
I think you would like that game. And like I said, it's my go-to. Like, I have 15 minutes right now to play a game. What can I fire up real quick and get in some time on before I have to skedaddle? Into the Breach is that game for me. So if you're looking for a game that's not Final Fantasy VII Remake as a suggestion of what to play right now, that's what I would recommend.
What are you playing it on?
PC. But I think it's also available on Switch.
Ah! I'm sold. Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Well, that's playing. Let us know in the comments. What are you playing? We've got some questions now.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Hi.
Welcome back.
Amy's back.
Yeah. So feel free to add in some questions there if you're watching right now on Twitch. We do have one from a Geek Bomber on Patreon. Efren asked, name one book, one TV show or movie series, and one video game you sat down and powered through, even foregoing a good night's sleep to finish it.
Powered through. I like that.
Yeah, missed for me, for sure. I did it in college. I beat it in 48 hours, and I 100% was, like, not eating, not sleeping. It was really bad. I was almost one of those news articles where there's, like, gamer died from lack of water for gaming too long. That was me with Myst in college, which is why when people ask what my favorite video game of all time is, for me, nostalgia-wise, Myst is it. Because everyone was like, you can't beat that game without a walkthrough. It's really hard. And I was like, watch me. And then I did it.
Somehow it's done.
Yeah, right?
Same thing for WoW. I would pull a few 19-hour sessions and not realize that it was now 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, oh, cool. So I guess that would be mine.
Nice.
Watching-wise, though, what show did I just keep having to... Well, just one more. I feel like, come back to me.
Okay, well, KK got it going on in chat. Says it's embarrassing, but the Twilight books, I powered through them so fast.
Oh my God, same. And I went to I had a bookstore just across the road from me from when I lived in Australia, and it opened at 10 o'clock. So at 9:50, I'd be like just hanging outside so that I could get it, go back home and read it. And then I'd show up the next day ready for the next book.
Aww. We do have a Twitch streamer right now, the Catnip Ninja, asking, are there any games you avoid?
Horror games. Oh my God, anything like that. Any jump scare kind of games. Oh, awful. I hate it. I don't know why anyone wants to be scared.
They do make for very entertaining streams, though. Because I agree with you. I don't like playing horror games just for, like, Funsy Town because they're too stressful. But they make for very entertaining streams.
Good to know. Guys, we'll be asking more questions later, so feel free to keep adding those.
Awesome. Thank you,
that
Amy.
Is playing, though. Hey, Trisha, do you want to get your ads and bonuses in? Is it worth me trying to join this through my other computer?
I mean, you could try.
Is it going to mess everything up?
No, because you're the second person on right now. So if you get out and get back on, I mean, it'll mess up things temporarily, but.
Your call. You think it's going to be the same internet, same problem?
I do think that, but it might be worth trying. I think there also might be something background running on your gaming PC that you don't know about. So I would almost say control alt believe, shut that puppy down and fire her back up and then call back in.
Alrighty. You say your thanks to everyone. I'm going to try and stop being a potato. Let's see how we go. Whoop.
Okay. Give it a go. Give it a go, lady. And now we get beautiful.
Hello.
This is my favorite. Okay, guys. So to everyone who cheered or followed or subbed, Amy, you're hilarious right now. To everyone who cheered, subbed, or followed during that and was like, hey, where's my alert? I didn't hear anything. It's because we port these to YouTube, so we don't want it to be awkward later for YouTube. Unlike how this over here is awkward. Look, I'm like poking your eye. Maud's going to come back and be like, what have you done? What have you done? So anyway, this is the time when I do want to say thank you to everyone. So DNG Hounds, Steve Nunn, Salvez, thank you all for the follows. Jacob Drake, thank you for the resub. You're amazing. 6 months. Happy half a subversary. Ep Idiot Box, thank you for the follow. Walking Ged gave a gift sub. Thank you so much, Walking Ged. Appreciate it. M Gear Leo, thank you for the follow. Rayson, thank you for the follow. And Luther, too, cheered with 1,600 bits. You're the best. Thank you so much for supporting the show and this channel. Also followed him, Darvin. It's Mr. Sniper. And Duck Duke. Duck Duke, are you here from the dungeon run? Let me know if you are. Because that's like an inside dungeon run joke from this show that I host on Caffeine. Balder75. Also subbed for 3 months. Thank you guys all so much for that. Extreme close up on Amy. I know. And when Mod calls I'm back in, gonna... it's like going to adjust back again. But this is my favorite right now. So Amy, how have you been?
You know, I've been here. I've actually been getting into some games. Oh, great.
It's good now. Fingers crossed. Don't shake your head. We're good. This is better.
Hey.
I'm devastated.
All right. Yeah, much cleaner looking. People are saying not bad. It's better. Good, good, good. And we had a little fun joke with Amy. Amy, the other thing I will say while we're kind of in this, like, figuring it out, just chatting tech break, your mic is really quiet. And it wasn't when we were chatting before the show. Did you, like, just plug in your lav before we went live?
I have my mic that's recording here separately, and then this is me here, how it was before.
I wonder if you're...
So I didn't change anything.
You didn't change anything. It's so much quieter now than it was before.
I can be louder. Hello.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah, it does dip in and out.
Right?
Hmm.
And that's just your iPad mic?
Yep. Yeah. It was the same as before.
Hmm. Weird. So, yeah, just try to project, I guess.
Okay. I will.
Perfect. Okay, fan-freaking-tastic. So, thank you guys. That was the playing section of the show. We are going to move in to the watching section.
Watching!
Bring us in, Maud.
Oh, we are watching right now. I am Maud Garrett, and you are joined by Trisha Hershberger. You could be watching live on her channel. You can be watching this on Geek Bomb's channel. Whatever you're watching, subscribe and follow the other one. We are talking about all things playing, watching, and reading today, but we are at the watching section. This includes movies and TV shows. And to kick this off, we've got Amy, Cassandra Martinez from Geek Bomb, who's going to give us the latest in news. So we're going to call this one, what is it? What's going off?
Amy?
What's going off?
Guys, perhaps one of the biggest piece of news that I've been really excited about. John Krasinski has been meeting with Marvel. That alone, I feel like we should take some time and appreciate how exciting this is. Yeah, I feel like we all, especially lately, you know, with this quarantine going on, we've all been watching, at least some of us have been watching, some good news. John Krasinski has been doing that every Friday. He's actually even getting some people to partake in prom, virtual prom.
Yeah, because they're missing out on their senior prom, yeah.
Yeah. So when people found out that he's been talking to Marvel, obviously fan casting had to happen. So we
took I already know.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people said Reed Richards.
Yeah.
Hector Navarro actually said Nova, which is that pick right there at the bottom left. Okay. So a lot of Reed Richards.
That's
basically what we got.
Do you know why it's going to be Reed Richards? Because Emily, his wife, is going to be Sue Storm. Like, when someone suggested that, I think it was last year, I was like, I can't see anything else now. It has to be. Like, that's just perfect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about this character that he's going to play. Tell me about, it's Reed Richards, right?
So it's Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four.
So we
were supposed to have like another, trilogy almost with the Fantastic Four that came out by Josh Trank, mm-hmm. but he just, Josh tanked himself by not making a good movie, pissing a lot of executives off. Apparently his dog caused like $200,000 worth of damage into the hotel room alone. Like, it was a bunch of things to make even Star Wars be like, you know what? We're bowing out. You were supposed to do a standalone film for us. No, that's not happening anymore. Which sucks because I really liked what he did with Chronicle, which was kind of like his big debut into filmmaking. But that's when we had, I don't even know. Oh, Miles Teller was Richard Reed and... Mm. What's her name? I can see her face, but I cannot tell you her name. She has a sister, Mara, Kate Mara.
Mm.
Kate Mara.
There we go.
Sue Storm. And it just wasn't hitting. Michael B. Jordan, though, was the Human Torch. Like, they kind of was like, even though he's Sue Storm's brother, they were like, what? Why is he black? Oh, you can't do this. It's like, well, yeah, they just made him adopted and it works again. It's all great. And he was good in it, but unfortunately, yeah, the movie was awful.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to do it again, but better this time.
And within the greater MCU.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the totally exciting help. Part.
Yeah. That's exciting. Thank you for that news, Amy.
Of course.
Yay.
There's not much movie news, obviously, because we are still in this awful, awful quarantine lockdown and almost a recession is going to happen. It's affected the movie industry by billions of dollars so far and counting. So mm-hmm. it'll be so interesting to see where we go with it all. But Trisha, what are you currently watching?
What am I currently watching? That is a great question. I am currently watching... two different things, and I know you're going to talk a lot about Money Heist, so I will hold off on that so that we can talk about that together. But I also checked out the Tiger King After Show
episode. Oh, I didn't, with Joel McHale. What was that like?
Yeah, it's only one episode, so you can get through it pretty quick. And it's pretty obvious that there's no overall director, producer guiding people on maybe what to and what not to say, which is why it's such a train wreck to watch, I think. But Joe McHale as a host, like, kudos, because he's like keeping it together no matter what crazy stuff everyone's saying. The one takeaway is that pretty much everyone that he talks to from the series hates Joe Exotic. Like, nobody has nice things to say. So it's very interesting. There's like one person that's like pseudo sympathetic, I guess you could maybe say, but for the most part, nah. And it's just fascinating to watch these people in their home environments, like not being filmed at the zoo, like being filmed at their own place and like being able to say whatever they want because they're just, I think, in the comfort of your own house, talking on a phone to Joel McHale seems a lot less intimidating maybe than having like a whole camera crew around you. And people are just very honest and it is nuts.
I'm guessing you saw all of Tiger King already because we spoke about it in our premiere episode. Yeah. But I want to know from you, who do you think got it the worst? Do you think the guy who was trying to run the political campaign, who's obviously an intelligent man and had to like try and get Joe Exotic, like reel him in, and then had Joe Exotic's husband shoot himself in front of him as a joke and he had to kind of live through watching someone incidentally commit suicide? Or was it the poor man who not only had his arm ripped off just tending to the tiger, but then also was referred to as a woman the entire documentary, even though he has stated many times that he identifies as a man?
Yeah.
Who I believe is the smartest person on the show, because his commentary over everything was just like they were switched on and just got it. So who do you think had it worse?
I don't know. They both had it real bad. Or I mean, Carole King's husband who probably got murdered and fed to tigers. Like, you like... I don't know. The tigers are the biggest losers, says STS2884 in Twitch chat. Oh, and I could not agree more. Yes, totally. It's just... It's such a hot train wreck. But if you've watched the entire Tiger King series, I feel like the icing on the cake is Joel McHale's after show episode. So give it a go. I recommend it.
All right. I do. I have to watch that. I don't know. You know how, like, I found by episode 2, I was so intrigued. By episode 3, it just kept, like, snowballing into this disaster that I couldn't, like, look away from. By the end, I kind of just felt sad.
Yeah. So I felt sad, like, the whole time.
Back into it. Yeah.
I felt sad the whole time that, like, Nate, my husband, just kept being like, what? As he's watching it. He just kept audibly exclaiming, what? And he was like, these are real people. Like, that it's a thing that everyone should experience.
That was my reaction, the whole time as well. But if you want a really, really cool show, I am so new to this series. It's called Money Heist. Mm-hmm. It is a Spanish language film, TV show that is in the heist genre. And what is super interesting is that heist genre is usually only for movies because you have the team, you establish who the team is and what everyone's role is. You have the objective and then you see it unfold. And there's usually a really, really clever way that it happens where, like, you know, it's never straightforward and there's a lot of deception and all that kind of stuff. What's really interesting, though, is that they've decided to expand it into a TV series. And I love that they've done that because you learn more and more about these characters every episode. You start to wonder if their loyalty is really to each other because they don't know their names or identities. They only have a code name, which is a place, you know, Tokyo or Berlin, you know, it's a place around the world that is your code name. Some of them get along better than others. You start to see other people's, like, true intentions. And there's a guy who's, like, borderline psychotic. But their whole heist job is to overtake this mint and then get the police force off their back a little bit so that they can spend an entire night and half a day printing money. And then while this is happening, they need to kind of, like, have an exit strategy from that. I think the acting is brilliant. The concept is amazing. And I haven't seen all first two seasons yet, but it all takes place in this one location. And it's super gripping. And I forget whether it's dubbed or that it wasn't English. And you can watch it subbed or dubbed. Trish, you've been watching this as well, you're saying.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through the first season. And I didn't know you could watch it subbed or dubbed. We've been watching it dubbed. And I believe it's Spanish was the original language, I believe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is gripping and fascinating. And normally this is the kind of series that I would probably shy away from a little bit because I'm not super into like gangster or crime movies. They don't really do it for me. But I do think, like you said, it's the interplay between the people involved in the heist that are what makes this series so interesting. So I've been really liking it, and I like the way that it unfolds. I like the way the storytelling happens. And you said it was originally a movie mod that they're now turning into a TV show?
I think the concept could have been a movie, but they've just decided to use it as a television show. It's got 4 seasons. They call them chapters. They call them something else. But there's 4 of those, and they've actually been expanded for 5 and 6. But the first 2 seasons take place at this Spanish mint, and then they go sort of like off-island because – you know, the adventure after what happens continues. But it's kind of interesting seeing the series pivot from something that was so established for 2 whole seasons into a new terrain. A lot of times that doesn't work for a lot of series, and it did see a dip in its Rotten Tomatoes ratings. But the fact that they're going to extend it to 5 and 6 as well, like, I don't know how long a heist concept can necessarily last. So they've had to, I've only seen it because of spoilers and I've watched trailers, but they've replaced some of the cast. And that, in being a heist scenario, is not a surprise at all. But that'll be, I don't know. I think with all, like, crime things, there's only so many times that you can kind of keep pulling the wool over the law's eyes until you can get away with it.
Yeah. I thought for sure that it was a movie when I first saw it on my Netflix feed. And then when it said 2 seasons, I was like, okay. So I decided to give it a go. But yeah, we'll see what they do after the... What do you do after the heist is over?
Exactly. You spend the money, but then how can you do that when you can't? I don't know. There's so many variables coming into play. I'm not a potato. How long have I not been a potato for?
Pretty much this whole episode.
Ah, yay. Sorry, my internet. So maybe it's the computer. That's an interesting. Trisha, I am going to call on your techspertise to figure out what was going on with that.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in the break, girl.
All right.
We will talk about it in the break. Okay, so yes, Money Heist and the Tiger King after show episode with Joel McHale are things that you might want to watch if you're looking for some watching recommendations. Now we go to Bombs Away.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay, so we do have some questions. So this one is from Geek Bomber Patreon member Zrakin75. How long do you think movie theaters will take to bounce back as far as attendance, or will people continue to use streaming such as VOD, Netflix, Amazon, etc.? And he also said, also great to see you both. Been a fan since SourceFed.
Yay! I know that the cinemas have gone to VOD as a desperate measure. Like, usually when you release a movie, you want box office. Like, that's where they make the majority of their money back. So the fact that they're going straight to VOD, I don't think they'll make nearly as much as they'd hoped to, especially with this new system where if you want to rent it, it's $19.99. I think that could be off-putting for some, because going to the movies and that experience is why you kind of pay a little bit more. So to watch it from the comfort of your room, I think that's why more people are going to go to subscription services like Netflix, etc. So I just don't think they're going to be making that money back. And I think that once movies can go back into cinemas, they will be doing that. I just don't know if there'll be any cinemas left, because AMC probably won't be able to bounce back from it financially unless it gets a government or a private backer to bail it out.
You know what? This is such an interesting question. I posed this question kind of to my Twitter feed when we found out Wonder Woman 1984 was being pushed back rather than released as VOD. And while for like a superhero film, yes, you want the digital surround sound, you want the huge screen, there's a lot of films that I honestly am okay with going straight to VOD. I love a movie theater experience as much as anybody out there. However, when you have one or more tiny humans and you have to pay $150 for a babysitter just to go to the movies for the night, you really weigh how cool that movie theater popcorn smell is. So, like, I see people online that are like, $20 to rent a movie at home, screw that. And I'm like, $20? What a steal!
The whole family is like $60 plus, yeah.
Right, so I think there are going to be some use cases where streaming movies at home, like a portion of the consumer base is really going to like having movies available digitally at home and maybe even get used to it or prefer it after all of this, now that that's been an option. And it's interesting to see what's happening with the different streaming platforms. Like, Disney having their own streaming platform is at a huge advantage to release things digitally as opposed to, say, like Wonder Woman 84, which would you sell it to Netflix? Like, how would one go about doing that? And I agree, they'd make way more money with a big box office theater release than they would that way. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling we're going to get a lot of mid-level budget movies. We're not going to see the big, big, big budgets anymore. And it's kind of great, hopefully, for indies, where it's like they'll might have more of a chance to have their films made, because, you know, it's going to cost less money. And I think a lot of these ideas are going to have to start branching out to see what they can do with very little.
Yeah. And Octavius in chat says, I can't remember, but how much was it to rent a movie back in the Blockbuster days? Not, it was like $4, wasn't it?
A new release for me, $6.
Oh, okay, but still not like 20 like it is online.
But right one now. Night. You had to it return definitely... it the next day.
See, it was cheaper, but you got to look around. And if you wanted to change your mind, if you got an older movie, it was cheaper. I was at an age where I didn't care how much it was because I wasn't aware of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dated a boy that worked at the Blockbuster, so my rentals were free.
What a perk.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, we do have another question from a Twitch viewer, Predrazor. Predrazor. I'm curious, has Mod or Trish watched any of Altered Carbon? If so, thoughts?
I watched, I think, 3/4 of the first episode. when it first came out, because I thought I would have liked the concept, and I did. I got kind of Matrix-y vibes from it all, because you can just like upload yourself into a new body. I don't know why I didn't continue with it. I came out like, what, 2017? And I just stopped.
I kind of did the same thing, Maude. I watched like the first couple episodes and then moved on to something else, but not because I disliked it. I liked it. It just, for whatever reason, there were other things I currently at the time liked more. But Altered Carbon is still to this day one of those series that I'm like, I'll get back into that at some point.
I mean, now's the time. But you and I, you know, as far as it goes, having spare time, you and I are two people that don't have too much of it.
That's so. Very true. That Yay! Is very, very true. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for watching this episode of Power Up and getting all your good watching recs.
Yes, make sure you leave comments below. What are you watching right now? What recommendations have you got? Have you watched either of the things that Trisha and I have mentioned? If you've got any questions, make sure you catch this show live, or you swing by Geek Bomb's Patreon and drop your questions down there for us to answer. Alrighty, time to move on.
Huzzah!
Oh, wait, before we get into reading, let's shout out to your newbies.
Before we get into reading, I want to say a huge thank you and welcome to Will Knight, MadKai22, King Enigma 620, all for the follows. And Baxorn, thank you for the 300-bit cheer. Baxorn made a comment with the cheer saying, instead of a major box office theatrical release, he'd be happy to pay the same price but be able to watch it in his VR headset with a bunch of other people currently watching it in VR.
Oh, wow. That's probably the future. That's probably where we're going with
it. Right? It's like an interesting way to think about it. So let me
And that just blew Amy's mind.
You're loving it, aren't you, Amy?
I have
a VR set that I need to play. My gosh. I've got an Oculus Quest. It's still in the box in the wrapping.
Do you know you can't get them anywhere right now? Don't tell Jessica Cho about that. She will be mad at you. She's desperately trying to get a Quest. So if you want to sell it.
I know. She's already hit me up. And she's like, sell it to me now. And my response was, man, I had no idea how many people wanted to play this. It makes me want to play it more now.
The Quest is great. It's fantastic. You should 100% enjoy it.
Yeah, you know what? When I have a day off. Oh, wait.
I know. Jess hit me up too and was like, hey, do you know anyone that wants to sell a Quest? And I was like, nope. And I love mine. Sorry.
Switches. Switches are all done as well.
Yep.
Yep. I had a friend trying to find a Switch, and as I'm playing it, I'm like, oh no, that sucks.
Yeah.
Maybe be a gamer from day one. Alrighty, let's get stuck into reading.
Let's do What's it. Up?
This is Power Up, playing, watching, reading, and we are talking reading here. What's up? My name is Maude Garrett, and we've also got Trisha Hershberger here, where we talk all about what we are currently reading. But to get stuck into some reading news, please welcome Amy Cassandra Martinez from Geek Bomb. Yay. What kind of news has been happening?
You know, with all of us in quarantine, a lot of people are getting very creative. They're going live a lot on Instagram and different social media platforms. Like, well, look at us. One person that people are very pumped to see online is LeVar Burton, reading Rainbow. So you can see the image that's gonna pop up. He's going live and he's streaming and he's reading. It's basically like he's bringing back Reading Rainbow to all of our screens. So you can watch on Twitter at LeVar Burton. So there's children's selections that he's reading. There's young adult selections. And then there's adults as well. So Fridays at 6 p.m. Pacific time, that's where the adult reading will be happening. He said, this is something I love doing, reading aloud. That's what I am. I am a storyteller. I believe stories have the power to bring us together. Clearly, there is a need. Which I love that. I mean, hey, that's what it's all about. And I think that there couldn't be a better person to be doing that. You know, I didn't personally grow up with Reading Rainbow, but I know a lot of people did. And just to kind of get back to that mentality of like, look, let's just gather around and listen to LeVar Burton tell us.
I did. I grew up with LeVar Burton's Reading Rainbow. And also, I have to say, shout out to LeVar Burton for being persistent. Because this man has been trying to bring back Reading Rainbow for like 15 years. He did a Kickstarter to bring back Reading Rainbow that like they got funded. And then I forget which network was like, you don't own Reading Rainbow, LeVar Burton. P.S. You can't just bring back a show that you don't own the rights to. Oh, and so then that whole thing petered out. Like, he's had so many failed attempts to bring back Reading Rainbow. So this one, if it is on his Twitter and he's calling it LeVar Burton Reads,
yeah,
I would imagine this can actually happen.
I didn't grow up with it. TLD Dubs, what is it? I'm guessing it's a dude who reads books.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty
much got
it. He looks
like a legend, too. He's a very likable dude. When was it on air?
He's the Bob Ross of reading.
Oh.
Reading kids' books.
Someone asked me to sing the theme song. Obviously, I can't do that. Trish, take it away.
I don't... Give a look, it's in a book, Reading Rainbow. That's like all I remember from it. But yeah, it was very cute and old school and lovely.
Mm-hmm.
We have play school in Australia and they would read a book. And I got so obsessed at the notion of holding the book out to a camera and turning the pages. And so every time I read a book as a kid, I would hold it out and read it to a pretend audience. Mark my words. I don't know if I've got any Aussies in the chat. Mark my words, if I ever do go home, I want to host play school so bad. You're supposed to watch it from like one or two to like seven. I watched it till I was 12, which is way too old. It's like, move on.
That is the cutest book lover version of today's kids that play video games while pretending to be streaming. Apparently that's a thing from like my friends who have kids that are older than my tiny human, where they're just playing Minecraft and they're like, and now I'm going to go over here and blah, 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 because they watch
that's
so many.
That's kind of scary.
Right? Because they watch so many streamers that they're emulating that.
Are we removing privacy from them? Like, they constantly think that there's people around. I guess I did it, but I was pretending to read to a camera.
Right, you were pretending to read to other people. And I think they're doing the same thing. I think they're pretending to game as a form of entertainment for other people. And I've heard this from, like, so many different people. So it's not even just, like, at first I thought it was, like, one friend's kid that really wants to be an entertainer. And then I realized it's, like, everyone's kid.
That's right. Just how it is now.
I have to get this out because three Christmases ago, my mum sent me a bunch of Star Wars books, click, click, click on Amazon and sent me stuff. And they arrived and she's like, what do you think? And I was like, well, mum, I think that I'm not five. She sent me, oh my God, this will be worth it, I promise. Children's books. So, here we have Chewy and the Porgs. Written by Kevin Shinnick and illustrated by Fiona Hirsch. So, I have children's books that I might read eventually in story, but I'm practicing my whole life for this moment where I can hold the book open in one hand whilst reading it. And on this planet stands the very first Jedi temple.
Wow.
My mom got a 31-year-old woman children's books for Christmas.
I love it. We also have ABC 3PO. If we're looking for more Star Wars kids books, I could nerdy kids books all day.
Well, if you need some more from me to you, actually from my mom to you. I don't know if you know this, but my nephews are called Arthur and Charlie, so I call them R2 and C3.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love that.
I love
So that's the reading news. Let's get stuck into it,
Shish. Thank you so much for the news. I love that. That was great. Reading Rainbow.
Amy,
come in.
Amy, what are you reading?
I am reading, the rundown that I helped create
for you guys.
I've been focusing a lot on playing and watching.
What are you playing?
A lot of games on my phone. A lot. Cooking Diary. Like, my gosh. I'm talking hours. Hours. This is who I am now.
Is that a free-to-play with in-app purchases?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's like Diner Dash, which was my jam. Like several years ago, I don't know why, but yeah.
Yeah, so
I just didn't think I ran a salon for like 3 years. Oh my gosh, it was an efficient system. Hoo-hoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
you just take, yeah.
The three of us are all the same personality type that like those, like, getting organized, getting stuff done games.
I can have two people in the massage chair while I have three people getting a pedicure and getting, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Crap, there's a salon as well.
Oh, yeah. I'll try and find that one. It's still good, is my guess. But I played that one, like, gosh, 10 years ago. I got obsessed. What are you watching?
Oh, my gosh. A lot of movies, but binging Community. I have started it from the beginning, and I'm like halfway through season one.
Which was this inspired by last week's episode, Amy?
A little bit, yeah, because I had started it, but I was like, okay, I'll come back to it. But you guys just talking about it, and Anthony talking about it, I was like, okay, I got to commit to this. This is my job right now. Let's do this. Let's take it seriously. I also started watching Mad Men again.
I need
because I've never seen it before, but I've seen the pilot twice.
It's really good.
I've seen the pilot once. Guys, if you want to know more about Community, it is our last episode. So check out the last week's watching with Anthony Carboni for all of that. Shish, what are you reading?
Let's see. I am reading... Dun, 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 dun. This is not what I'm currently reading because I'm currently reading The Hobbit. But again, since Maud and I are twinsies, I didn't want to double down on that. So I picked one of my other favorite books that I read recently called You're Never Weird on the Internet Almost by my buddy Felicia Day. And it's such a fantastic book about just being a kind of awkward person that doubts themselves and doing this crazy internet job. And so I don't know if I had a real special place in my heart. I'm sure I did for it because this is also what I do for a living. But I think especially for people that don't do that for a living, they might find it as like a really interesting window into what that life is like. And I feel like it's just a very good, like, when you're a normal person or even a kind of nerdy, awkward person, and then you have this weird job where you are suddenly pretty known online, here's what that's like. And it's just, it's a fascinating read. There were moments in it that I literally, and I didn't want to be creepy because she talks about stuff that happened in her childhood and stuff, but there were moments that, like, I wanted to text her and be like, are you okay? I know that was like 40 years ago, but like, I just finished this part of your book. And I did not do that because I thought it'd be creepy. But anyway, highly recommend that book. If you get it on Audible, she narrates it herself, which makes it even better.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, but I really, really liked it. And this is the first of two books she has out right now. She has a more recent book that's about finding your creativity if you do want to make content online, like how you go about figuring out what that is and what it looks like. But the autobiographical book is You're Never Weird on the Internet Almost, and I loved it.
So I do this for a living, and I couldn't put that into a book.
Yeah, well, she's also a writer. Like, that's also what she does for a living, at least part of the time.
I don't like writing.
Yeah, no, I don't really love writing either. But Felicia's a really good writer. It's very, very funny. And the prelude, it's called a prelude in a book, right?
Forward.
The forward is oh my gosh, I just lost
Josh Whedon. It says it on the graphic.
Thank you. Yes. The forward's by Josh Whedon. I was gonna be like Buffy, Marvel.
Oh, I would have, yeah. No, that's good. I would have got it. And he's always on a dance floor every party I've ever seen him at.
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Loves a boogie.
I love it. All right, tell us how you're feeling about The Hobbit right now, Maud, because you said you hadn't read it before, right?
I have never read it before. So I physically read up into chapter 7, and then I jumped over to the audiobook, actually, and I've listened to another 3 from that because it's not super, super old school where it sounds like someone's yelling into a record player. So I've been enjoying, I think I'm enjoying listening to it more than reading it because it is written like you're reading a story to someone. So yeah. I think the audible version of that is so much better. I am a little bit frustrated, and I spoke all about it on Nerdist Book Club because we are covering this 6 chapters at a time. I'm a little bit frustrated with the how Tolkien has written this, but I am understanding that it was 1937. He's a linguist, not necessarily a fictional writer, and he was writing it for his child. So with that in mind, I've taken a lot more sort of like creative license and liberties for the structure of it, but the structure is like whiplash because he'll be talking about something and then he's like, oh, but you'll hear more about that later. Then let's go back because this is what's happening now. And you're like, what is happening in the story? So that's why I've gone to listening to it, because I speed read, and speed reading is no good with this particular book. But I will also say I'm always such an advocate of reading the book before watching the movie. In this case, watching the movie has helped me with reading the book, because you are thrown in with 13 dwarves and the only distinguishing feature is their name, and one of them's Chunky, and that's kind of it. So knowing who some of the characters were in the movie is helping me actually navigate the story more.
Tolkien gives everybody like five names. It's very frustrating. When you get into Lord of the Rings, it is, and if you read the Silmarillion and some of the other like ancillary Tolkien works, then it gets even worse. Because you think, you're like, well, what about this person? And then he calls them by something else the whole next chapter. And so then you think it's a new character, but then you realize it's the same character he was talking about before. They just have other names.
A different name now. Yeah, no, he's already doing that with the wargs and wolves. They're wolves 1 second and then they're wargs the next. And I was just like, mate, is it a new species? Or is it, you know, like, help me help you kind of deal. Mm-hmm. But also I get frustrated reading this, wondering why on earth it was made into three movies. And I'll read like a tiny passage where it was like, walked through the hills and we could have gone and gotten lost, but we chose the right path. And then I was like, yeah, but in the movie that would have been 20 minutes to try and find that right path that it took you three sentences to get through.
Yeah, The Hobbit's pretty succinct and they did make it into three movies. That I heard, this is what Peter Jackson said at a press junket, and I like it. I know it's probably just studio BS, but I like it. He said he didn't want Bilbo's story to feel less important than Frodo's. And he thought if cinematically Frodo had three movies and Bilbo only had one, then Bilbo's story would feel less important. And as someone that is a huge Bilbo stan, I was like, okay. Like, we put things in there that didn't need to be in there, and we cut stuff out of that that shouldn't have been cut out. And, you know, it probably would have, well, not even probably, it definitely would have made a better one movie. But, like, let's make Bilbo's story more important. Also, the more Middle-earth you want to put on screen, the more I'm okay with it. Like, give
me... I am seeing that.
It's... Yes. So, like, I have the Hobbit trilogy Blu-ray extended edition, and I watch it frequently. And I know those movies are not good, but it is Middle-earth on screen, and Martin Freeman is an amazing Bilbo, and Benedict Cumberbatch is an amazing Smaug, and there are some lovely moments in those movies. And just put me in the Shire. The more I can be in the Shire, the happier I am.
I mean, I like what hobbits are all about. They eat a lot all the time. They have polite niceties, and then they get back to eating some more in their house, and then they might have a smoke after. Like, I mean, I feel like I don't even smoke, but that lifestyle I could be completely about.
Oh, yeah. They're just not into adventure. So, like, you're very comfortable with what you have. You don't want to risk anything. That's the only thing that I'm like, oh, man, if I could get an adventure.
Yeah, he needed an adventure. It was time for that to happen. I heard a different reason why there were three movies, and that was because the studio was basically going to go under, and the only property that they had was that. And for them to kind of like see the green and get through it, they had to, it was going to be two, but then they were like, we need to make it three, make it happen.
No, don't break this for me. That's okay. I'm just going to live with the more Middle Earth, the merrier. All right, let's get into some bombs away Q&A.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yay. Okay, so this question is from Patreon Geek Bomber Adam Tulos. Twitch viewers / watchers, please throw us your questions as well. So he asked, which literary couple is your favorite and why? Is there a literary couple you wish were a couple, but it never worked out?
Oh, I know. I can talk to Adam about this because he's reading the books that I put him onto, and he's so wondering whether it's Team Dorian or Team Kaol. I am going to tell you right now, buddy, I won't spoil it for you, but I wish the Team Dorian spread its wings and flew. That's all. He knows what I'm talking about.
No, what is that? I don't know.
So I'm reading a series called Throne of Glass, and the protagonist is... I can't even say the name without spoiling it, but she was kind of in a little bit of a triangle in book one, but then it kind of flourishes out. And there is a prince who has, I don't want to spoil it. Whatever. Okay. His ice, his fire. It would have been really great together, but I can't say anymore. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Read the books, listen to them. They're amazing. I've been like, oh, pounding through them.
I don't know if there's a like book ship that didn't happen in anything that I read. Most of the stuff I read, any of the ships you want to happen, happen.
Hold on, in Hunger Games, did she end up with Peter or Gale? I've like forgotten.
Oh, she ended up with Peter.
There you go. Team Gale.
And see, I'm Team Peter, so I was totally okay with that.
I don't need that much bread.
Well, here's why I'm totally Team Peter. Because okay. This is the TLDR version. There's actually a really, really awesome article written on this. But Katniss herself is much more of a traditionally masculine archetype. And so yes. is Gale.
And he's Peter, the stay-at-home Peter's dad.
The traditional, more of the traditional feminine things, like the damsel in distress, she has to save him multiple times, blah, 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 so that they complement each other well, was the argument made in this article. And I was like, I can kind of buy that, but I am also a very strong, like, I'm a very big personality woman, so not to say that I go for a more subdued guy, but, like, if I was dating a guy that was, like, too strong in the same way as I was, I don't feel like it would work. And so that's kind of why I'm thinking maybe Katniss and Gale didn't work out.
Trisha, that's why I'm still single. I need someone that can handle it, match it, and then add to it.
You're trying to ship Katniss and Gale, but in your life.
Yes.
You gotta find someone that challenges you in all the right ways, but also compliments mm-hmm. you in all the right ways. So you're not just constantly...
That's it. Is that so much to ask for? Yes, I understand that now. Yes. Have we got one more question?
We do, from Twitch viewer. Where'd you go? Oh, I lost it. Okay, there it is. Ashalon6023. Have Trish or Maude read the books or seen the Expanse series?
Oh, T-Boys just doubled down on that one. I have definitely seen the Expanse series like a crazy person.
Are we talking Hobbit or are we talking Hunger Games?
Oh, The Expanse. The question was The Expanse.
Oh, The Expanse. I've heard the expanded series. I watched all of The Expanse.
Yeah, I'm like, no, The Expanse. It's great. It's like probably the best the sci-fi thing. Television series we have on TV right now.
In like the last 5 years, easily. Yeah, yeah, I've recommended it to so many people. So, yeah.
But what about not read the books, but they are on my Audible wish list.
No, I haven't read the books. I don't know if I'm good at sci-fi books. I've read a handful, but I always usually go back into fantasy because I like to escape into that world a little bit more. But, I mean, it sounds like this is why we do Power Up, because it's all about those recommendations. So maybe that's something that I can do.
Yeah, for sure.
Guess we just dropped by.
Oh, man.
Hi, sweetie.
Oh, yay. Man.
Hey, Zelda.
Hi, Pepper. I wish I could be like, hey, guess who just dropped by? But I don't have a fur baby, and my actual tiny human is not in the room, which is a good thing he's not, because he would have taken over the whole episode.
Well, there you have it, though. That is our reading for Power Up this particular Friday. If you are in the Twitch, hey, give it a follow, give it a sub, do all that fun stuff. If you're over at Geekbomb, give it a subscribe. Dipped under 100,000 again, Amy, didn't we? Did you notice
yep,
that?
Yep, we did.
Mm-hmm. How fun. Yeah. A little bit of a sub cleanse. Yeah. So if you haven't done it yet, please do. I want to hit 100,000 5 times.
Do it.
That'll be fun. Do yeah. It feels do good to do it.
So. You can do it. So, and folks, if you do want to watch these live in the future, you can do that on twitch.tv/Trisha Hirschberger. That's where you do it live every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. And then, yeah, you can always listen to it wherever you like to listen to your favorite podcasts over the weekend, or find it on Geek Bomb's YouTube channel. Mm-hmm.
That's it. And if you want to get questions in live during the show, you can do that in Twitch, on the Twitch stream too, or you can jump onto Geek Bomb's Patreon, and any donation gets you questions in every single week too. Thank you so much for watching Power Up. Thank you, Amy, for joining us for What's Going Off and Bombs Away Q&A. We'll see you guys next week with a special guest who we've kind of locked in. I don't know if I give a hint.
No, don't give a hint. Okay. It's a total surprise.
It's a total surprise.
But you'll
see
them. Maude and I both know.
Next week. Thanks so much for watching, guys. That's us done. Bingo. Bye-bye.
Yay.
Yay. Okay. Thank you, everybody, so much for watching. Who else do we have? Backstorm with all the bits. Thanks, man. So I just want to say, King Enigma 620, thanks for the follow. Backstorm cheering with bits all over the place. Thank you so much, Bax, for the bits. Cypher Fiend, 6 foot Hobbit, JWC 93, and 6 foot Hobbit followed just as we were talking about the Hobbit, and I was That's like, awesome. How appropriate. Fitting. So welcome, welcome everybody to the Dragon Riders. If you haven't been here before, we have an awesome Discord that you can hang out in between streams. And if you are someone who is a Twitch Dragon Rider member and like a regular here, but you're like, what is going on? The Power Up show is a show that we're doing every Friday at 4 p.m. with Maude and Amy. Yay! Where we talk about everything we're playing, watching, reading, in case you missed that announcement in the beginning. But that's what we're doing. So if you really like this format, thank you. Let us know. And we will be doing this again next Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. But otherwise, the next time I will be live on Twitch is Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific for more Final Fantasy VII. When are you going live next, Amy and Maude?
We are just dropping these VODs. What else we got?
Well, they can catch you on Fresh Daily on Monday, probably, right?
Actually, really, really, really big announcement. Book Club, we are now, Geek Bomb is hosting the official after show for Nerdist Book Club, which just got picked up back again, which is super, super cool. So Wednesday at about, usually around 6 o'clock at night, we, Rachel High and Hector Navarro and I jump into the Discord and we have a Q&A happening there about the book, which of course happens to be The Hobbit. So that's really cool as well. It's a really fun perk that we've got with the Patreon.
Yay! And Amy, are you on the after show for Nerdist Book Club?
No, I'm trying to look at you.
That's fun.
When can we see you online next, Amy?
Thursday. Today is Friday. So yeah, Thursday on Sideshow Collectibles YouTube channel might be going out live to all like the major streaming platforms. We're going to be talking about Iron Man, and that's all I know. I don't know what time, but just make sure that you guys subscribe and follow me on socials as well.
Awesome. And guys, if you have the Quibi app, I do Monday through Friday, Fresh Daily, which is all about streaming recommendations, hence knowing way too much about the Rotten Tomatoes ratings for all the shows.
Yes. Here we go. Yes. Yeah, so and STS says, what are days anymore? I know, right? I think we all feel like that. So everybody stay safe, stay healthy, and connect with each other online so we don't all get super, super lonely.
Christy, that's it. Or get a dog.
All right. Thank you, everybody, so much for watching. Bye.
Bye.